thing on. Okay. Good morning. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews, the entire book, today. Open your Bibles to Hebrews, and we'll be there. Thank you for everybody who helped last night. I know it's been said several times, but I'm grateful for that. Grateful for the upcoming mission trip. Grateful for what God's going to do in our midst. So let me ask you, how many of you remember Valentine's Day when you were, if you went to public school, how do you remember Valentine's Day at public school? Do you remember that you had to make something like this? This is what the crafty kids made, right? And you did this, and then on Valentine's Day, then you would put the Valentine for each kid in your class, if you were the good kid and got Valentines for everybody. If you were like me, you got it for your friends. And you put them in their little, I don't know, what do you call it? Somebody help me out. Valentine's mailbox or something like that, right? And so you put it in there, and then, you know, you collect it, and then you take those home, and you look at them all. Sometimes you got to look at them while you're at school. And so some of them, you know, if you're a rich kid, you had, like, the custom box and all that. If you were a crafty kid, you were this one. And if you're me, it was something like this. All right, can I get some tape? And I think this is good. I'm not an artist when it comes to those kind of things. But I was the kid that if you don't know me, you don't know that I'm an optimist. And so every Valentine's Day, I was sure the prettiest girl in class was going to give me a really good Valentine. And it was always that, so glad we're friends, Valentine. Anybody relate to that, or am I the only loser? Yeah. But there's that aspect of those things. And I was thinking about Valentine's Day coming up this Tuesday. I'm like, what can I do? It's like, how about you guys all get Valentine's presents today? So I saw Corey. Corey, you're still. Corey, come help me. Corey's going to be Cupid, I guess. You don't have to change, but here you go. Just everybody grabs one thing from there, and if you want to help, Isaac, you want to help him, and you dish some out on both sides. Everybody gets a Valentine today. You may be disappointed. You may be excited. The card may be inappropriate. I didn't choose them all. But it's just like Valentine's Day in elementary school. There's going to be a little bit of everything, so hopefully you get a little something there you like. So happy Valentine's Day a couple days early. Obviously, I have a wonderful Valentine and my wife, blessed to have her. So let me, as you're getting your Valentines, and let me ask you this next question. Are you a good cook? If you think you are a good cook, raise your hand. Oh, wow, look at these boys. All right. If you think your spouse is a good cook, raise your hand and be very careful what you do. If you are not a good cook, raise your hand. So you're a good cook. This is a good cook. This is like, you know, you make waffles and they're perfect, and you know, you got blueberry waffles and all that stuff. You just, it's magnificent. Is that you? You can make Thanksgiving dinner every day of the week. You're that good. And then everybody sits down and eats. You make pies that eat themselves. They're so good. That's how good a cook you are. Or you make a shrimp that just sizzles. We got potluck today, so I thought I would get us started on the growling of our stomachs, right? We got our kids with us, so our stomachs might as well growl as well as the kids' noises. So we don't care if the kids make noises. It means we're alive. This is how you know if you're a good cook. When you're cooking, is this what your family looks like? Are they waiting in anticipation with that? Or are you that kind of cook, you know? You're in the kitchen, you're getting stuff done, but you don't necessarily hear the compliments back. You don't hear people say, wow, that was amazing. You know, if you don't hear that, then maybe you're not. Or if you're cooking and then things are exploding, or, you know, if you look like this when you're cooking any of these things. Yeah, it's not a good sign. Not a good sign. Maybe you're not the cook, maybe you're just the kid, and you're not worried about cooking, you're just worried about eating. And you don't want anybody else minding your business. You just want to eat. Leave me alone. Let me enjoy my food, right? Hey, or maybe you're a high school student, and this is the extent of your cooking, right? You're really, really good at pouring. Maybe you're a kid like my daughter, and you pour the milk first, and then you add the cereal, right? She does it. She got it from some distant ancestor. We don't know who. Or maybe you're a college student, and this is how you cook. We can just watch this the rest of the message. Are you a good dad, Lauren? This will all make sense eventually. The letter to the Hebrews is where we're at, and we've been here for a long time. And I'm grateful that you guys have stuck with it and dug in. They haven't given up on it. We are in the final stretch of Hebrews. But as we look at it, it's really important to see what it is we're looking at. The letter of Hebrews is written to a church like, look around at yourself, to a church body that was battling persecution, meaning people were going against their faith or threatening to kill them or throw them in prison, whatever. And in the midst of that, they were battling the reality that some of their own people had left. So if you look around, I don't know how many people we have here, but let's take about a third, and a third of us leave, experiencing that. That's what was going on in their life. So they're struggling. And so the letter of the Hebrews is really working to them, because some of them were tempted to, and some of them actually followed through with walking away, which is unbelievable, to walk away from grace. What Jesus has done for us is so glorious and so wonderful, and yet some people walked away from that to go back to an old way that was impossible to really live by. And so we see that. And so the letter is saying to the church, it's like, okay, don't give up. Keep growing, keep going. Jesus is worth it. Don't let this distract you. The fact that some have left, the fact that you're facing persecution, the fact that other people don't like that you're a Christian, don't let that stop you. And I think we need to hear that today as a church in 2023. Just because people don't like that you love Jesus, people don't like that you're a passionate Christian, don't let that stop you. Because it's worth it. It will be so worth it in the end. And that's what Hebrews continues to remind us, is to keep looking forward. Don't look at the here and now. Look forward to what is to come. And so the first 10 chapters, they just help us see who Jesus is, what he's done, what he's promised to do. And who is Jesus? He is this. Let's read it together. He is powerful, creator God. He's the Savior, the Lord, the great high priest, the faithful sacrifice who died to make us perfect, to make us holy. Have you received that Jesus? Have you received a Jesus that just this guy that like carries around a lamb in one arm and a child in another and forgives sins? Or have you received the Jesus who is the powerful creator God? Have you received that Jesus? Because that's the Jesus of the Bible. So as we look at this Jesus, we understand he is the Lord, Lord of all the universe, but he welcomes us as family. When we say yes to what he's done for us, we become a part of his family. We're welcome as brothers and sisters, daughters and sons. And that is so, so beautiful. And so we see that he is glorious, he is creator of the universe, and yet he's good. And because of Jesus, we then have hope that will hold us through these hard times. Again, it is worth it to live passionately for Jesus. Right? Right. Is it hard? Yes. Is it worth it? Yes. So we love Jesus for who he is. And we have faith that he will continue to be who he is and continue to do what he has done. And we have hope that his promises are true and they will soon be fulfilled. We have hope that one day he's going to make all things new. And we talked about that last week. This letter then helps us understand that God works in our lives through discipline. When things aren't going right, when things are hard, when walking in faith is hard, that is God. Sometimes it is God at work in us to shape us and mold us into being more of who he's called us to be. And so as we understand that, we understand that soon, and let's read this together, there will be one last shaking of the heavens and the earth. And God will bring judgment, and he'll make all things new, very, 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 very good again. Do you know that? So it's interesting that after I preached that sermon last week on earthquakes, that then there was this massive earthquake, and you saw the devastation that it laid. If you've looked at the videos and seen the pictures, how devastating that earthquake in Turkey and Syria was, and how many thousands of lives were lost. That was just a earthquake. There is one last shaking coming, and that will shake the heavens and the earth, and there will be nothing remaining that is temporary. Everything that's temporary will be taken care of. Only things that will be remaining are the eternal. So we have that relationship with Jesus. So Hebrews is all about Jesus, right? Yes. But there's another consistent message that is woven in through the entire book. And it consistently shows up in almost every single paragraph. And it's something we cannot miss, friends. And when it comes to church in the United States of America, we like to skip this message. So it's a challenge. The message shows up in almost every single paragraph of every single chapter. Now, they didn't write it in chapters, but they're writing in just one long letter, and it keeps showing up over and over and over again. So your challenge this morning is to see if you can find it. We're going to read a ton of scripture. Now, I understand that when we read, some of you listen to the reader, some of you follow along on the screen, some of you read along with it, And some of you tune out because it's hard. It's kind of like that Charlie Brown teacher, right? It can get draining, right? But don't nod your head too much, Lucas, right? So as we read, understand, this is the most important thing that's being said. It's the Word of God. So we're going to look at these things, see if in the midst of all this reading, you can figure out what the other woven message is throughout the entire book of Hebrews. It's a bit of a mystery, and we'll see if you can find it. Are you ready? It's a challenge. There are no prizes from me, but maybe Jesus will help you out. All right. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. We'll look at this passage. It says this: in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. There's part one. In chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, we see this: we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Have you figured it out yet what the mystery is? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if indeed we hold firmly to confidence in the hope in which we glory. We're only three chapters in. Chapter 4 says this: therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it, for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. Verse 11, would you read this with me? Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Do you know what the hidden message is yet? How about verse 14 through 16? Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Chapter 6, we skip chapter 5, it actually didn't show up. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. How many of you think you know what the hidden message is? Got one hand. Okay, keep going. Chapter 8. Verse 1 through 2. Now, the main point of what we are saying is this: we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary and are the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Chapter 9, verse 14. Would you read it with me? I'm tired of reading by myself. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. 9:24. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Chapter 10. Only about 8 more slides. I really wonder if this will sink in. I hope it does. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, 33 through 34. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. You guys have not suffered this yet, but we may. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Let's switch it up. Teens, if you are a middle schooler or a high schooler, would you read this for us? But we can do that again. Let's read it with them. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, are we? No, we are but of those who believe and are saved. That's one of my favorite passages of scripture in the whole Bible. I say that a lot. We're to chapter 12, and there's a lot. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance, right, as the oldest son. Rich didn't know that we were going to read that about Esau. Thank you, Rich, for paving the way. And here we go in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. What have you come to? Read it with me. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Final slide. Your last chance to figure it out. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So Hebrews is all about Jesus, right? And yet there's this other message that is consistently woven that we cannot miss. We cannot miss it. This message shows up in every single line of every single chapter. Did you catch it? Do you think you know what it is? One person. I'm not a great cook, but I don't mind cooking this. You have a packet. This is General Tso's chicken or General So's chicken. Depends on which Chinese restaurant you go to. It's amazing. It is so good. It's spicy and delicious. You guys know this, right? You know this. It's like orange chicken, but 1,000 times better. It's so good. And so we've made it a ton at our house, and something that I will make here and there. We've ate it so much that it's kind of like, eh. You know, you have something so much, and you're just kind of a little bit tired of it. And we don't add the green stuff, by the way. That's not needed. You just you just add the oil, the chicken, and the batter, all that stuff. It's so good. But there was a period of time where two or three times in a row, I made it and it tasted awful. It just didn't come together. And we would eat it and Jessica's like, this isn't right. I'm like, I know it's not right. And I'd made it, so I'm frustrated. I'm like, it has to be the packet. You know, the packet was too old or something like that. We got it, so we cooked it again a week or two later, and it was bad again. I was like, oh man, maybe they just changed their recipe on the packet. And it was going on like this for a while, and then finally Jessica asked me a question, and what do you think the question was? Did you add sugar to the sauce? Like, there's no sugar in the sauce. And then you look at the back of the packet, and there's a lot of sugar in the sauce, and I didn't add any. And so it tasted absolutely terrible. Why are we talking about this? Are you a good cook? We talked about that. Isn't having all the ingredients kind of important? Isn't it? Tell me. Come on. It is. It is. Many Christians, in the United States especially, leave out one of the most essential ingredients to their faith in Christ. And we just read a ton of passages trying to get you to see what it was. Greg thinks he knows what it is. We'll see if he's right. Hebrews is full of us. We are one another, each other, you all. If Hebrews was written to the church of Texans, it would be full of y'all. Where are you at, Bethany? Right? All the y'alls. Hebrews is written in a plural sense. Why? Why? Because it assumes. It assumes that the people reading the letter understand this core thing that you need to understand and I need to understand. And let me tell you very, very frankly, Americans struggle to implement this almost more than any other spiritual discipline, and that is the need for Christian community. Will you take a second and look around at each other? Look around at each other. Not joking. Look around. Turn your necks. Don't hurt anything. Don't strain anything. You've been facing forward a long time. Biblically, understanding Hebrews, we cannot rush through Hebrews, talk all about Jesus, talk all about what he's done, how he's this great high priest, how someday he's coming back. And if we do all that and we miss the point that the whole purpose of it is it's written to a church, a Christian community of brothers and sisters who are committed to living out their faith together. This means you. That means me. Hebrews was inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? And it was written assuming that you and I would read it connected as a connected part of church. You're saying, Chris, I'm here. I showed up today. Jared's cooking. He's barbecuing in the back. Of course I showed up today. It's potluck Sunday. Of course I'm here. Yeah. Are you part of a committed body of believers? Or are you just showing up? Let's be honest, friends. Christians in America have allowed consumerism to invade their faith. And we choose what we want rather than to yield what God wants. So we say this, church is not a building. Church is not a service. Church is not a program. If you're going to church, then your language needs to change. You are the church. Church is a family of brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Church is the body of believers in Jesus Christ. Church is Jesus present today in a broken and hurting world, continuing to do the same things that Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but we're doing it, this isn't heresy, better, because there's more of us everywhere. That's God's intention. That's what Jesus said. He said, it's better for you that I go away, because you're going to do the same things that I've been doing. In fact, you will do even more. Look up John chapter 14 through 16, and you'll find that he says just that. When Jesus prayed for you and I, his main prayer was that we would be united. This isn't a message scolding you for not loving each other. I think you guys do a pretty good job of loving each other. And let's face it, we've changed. We've grown. We have a lot of new faces over the last 2 years, right? Praise the Lord for that. I'm so grateful for that. Because then there's at least two or three more groans when I tell a joke than there were before. But the reality is the Bible says something very clear, and we cannot miss it, friends. And this is hard for me to preach, and I'll tell why in just a second. But Hebrews 13, verse 1, let's read this together, because this is the next chapter and where it shows up again. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Would you say that again? Keep on loving one another as brothers. One more time. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Who's this written to? It's written to you, to us. Would you say it to your neighbor? Keep on loving one another as brothers. Would you say it to these teenagers up here? They need to hear it too. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Would you say it to the little babies who are crying? Tell them. Keep on loving one another. Tell them the moms are trying to soothe them. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Hebrews is written assuming that the reader is a part of a connected body of believers, part of church. Not a building, not a service, not a program, not something where they go watch somebody or listen to somebody, but part of a family. And in fact, it's not just Hebrews, is it? If you read the entire New Testament, you'll see the same thing. The entire New Testament from Matthew through Revelation is written assuming the context of plurality, meaning assuming that you are reading it as a part of a connected group of believers. So are you? How are you doing in this? How are you? Close connection to other Christians. Why does it matter? Well, it impacts a lot of things, doesn't it? It impacts your witness. It impacts your faith. It impacts your prayer life. It impacts how much you learn, how much you grow, how effective you are at sharing your faith, your evangelism. It affects your accountability, whether you're able to maintain a straight path because you have brothers and sisters holding you accountable. It affects your stability in faith because when you are going through a storm, you have somebody not going through a storm and they're able to be an anchor for you. All these things are so important. Any of those not important? No, they're all important. And absolutely every one of them is dependent on having close connections with other Christians. And it's hardest when you are these ages, when you're high schoolers and middle schoolers. And we talk about this, and I love Curtis and Lori's heart too, and Curtis has talked multiple times how important it is that you find at least one other Christian and just try to hold on and live this life together, live this Christian life together, because public school will tear you apart. Would you read 1 Corinthians 12:27? We are almost done, friends. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Again, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Again, you're not reading very loud. I'm reading. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I think I lost something in translation there where I said, you read it with me, and you're like, oh, I'll listen to you a couple more times, Chris. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Jay is a part of the body of Christ. Ben is a part of the body of Christ. Micah is a part of the body of Christ. You are all a part of the body of Christ. If your name is Chris, multiple of us here today, you are a part of the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. You are essential. Have you ever been walking along and seen a random ear on the ground, like a human ear on the ground? I hope not. If you have, you would say, that's not right. Right? You say, something atrocious has happened. Have you ever been wandering along and met somebody who's a Christian who is not connected to other Christians on a regular basis? That's not right. And it's not about you guys coming here to listen to me. This is why it's hard to talk about it, because it feels like it's like saying two things. It's not about church attendance. It's about church community. To fulfill the plans God has for you, why? You need close connections with other Christians. You need brothers and sisters. You need mothers and fathers. You need sons and daughters. You need as many as you can get. I was talking to my two best friends this morning. My best friend in Arkansas, or Kansas is actually how it's pronounced. His mom is in the hospital. What do you think he did? He reached out to Jeff and I. He says, I just need prayer. Why would he do such a thing? Because we have Christian community. To do what God wants you to do, and God has plans for you, you have to have other Christians in your life. And again, this is why it's hard for me, because I can preach this every Sunday, but you know the saying, say it for me. I didn't want to call you a bunch of horses. You can lead a horse to water, you can splash around it, you can make that water seem so appealing, and the horse is going to do what it wants to do. Welcome to pastoral ministry, friend. You guys are good. You're kind. And many of you have stepped up in big ways over this last year. And I would love to go around this room and say that, but for time's sake and because Jared is cooking something delicious and there's all this delicious food, I know you'd rather me not. While a pastor can lead and provide opportunities, we can provide services, we can provide studies, we can provide opportunities for small groups, we can do all that. And we can do this. We can try. The actual connection can only happen when you take a step of faith to say, I am going to be a bit more vulnerable and connect with other Christians. Simple ways you can do that. We have women's fellowship. We have Bible study. We have men's prayer breakfast. We have youth group. We have this. We'll have a class or two coming up. We'll have small groups that are available. Simple things you can do. The other thing you can do is you can reach across the aisle and talk to one another. You can invite each other out for pizza. You can do something like that. You can send a message. You can do whatever it is. Take simple steps of faith to begin to build connections, because every connection you build with another Christian will make you stronger and what God has for you. Okay? And I know some of you are extreme introverts, and I'm sorry, but it's not my plan. It's God's plan for you. I think God does even more through the introvert who takes that step of faith than that extrovert that it comes natural to. So the book of Hebrews alone tells us that when we connect with other believers, the reason we do it is it encourages us, it builds up, it holds us accountable, it strengthens, we receive more, we're able to be more effective in prayer, we're able to suffer together, we're able to rejoice, we're able to endure. All of this is together. So I can read the book of Hebrews in a closet by myself, but I will never receive all that God has to offer to me through Hebrews if I do not connect with you all. Okay? So how are you doing? What's your honest stance? You gave yourself a scale, grade of 1 to 10. 1, I am not even close to having a single connection. Genuine. I'm not talking about I know another Christian's name. I'm talking about a connection. How many? You have 1, you have 0 connection. Or 10, you have so many you can't keep track. Where are you at? How are you doing? Because you know where God wants you to be? He wants you to be at the 10. What steps is the Holy Spirit telling you today? This isn't about me telling you something. This is a Holy Spirit and you conversation. What is Jesus telling you to do today about this? Because I believe he's telling you something. I don't think he has nothing for you today. If you came here and you're getting nothing, I don't get that. Because I'm getting convicted too. It's hard sometimes as a pastor to take steps like this. What's going to be your response? What are you going to do about it? Not just with people your own age, not with just people that are like you, but people who are older than you and people that are younger than you. Our youth need adults pouring into them, praying for them, encouraging them in their faith. They need it more than they will ever, ever let you know. Satan will try, and he is incredibly successful at discouraging and disrupting this. We must overcome. You may have setbacks. The reality is you're making friends and you're connecting with other human beings who are also trying to walk with Jesus. We're all trying not to be a random ear on the sidewalk, right? We're all trying to be connected. Because last time I checked, an ear is a lot more useful and advantageous when it's connected to a head and the rest of the body, right? Grow. Bless. Go. Let's read it one more time. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. If you want to follow Jesus into the good plans he has for you, then you need to connect faithfully with other Christians, friends. But this is the only way that I can fulfill his plans for my life, the only way you can fulfill the plans he has for your life. So what are you going to do? What steps are you going to do? How are you doing? What are you doing about it? What's your response? What's your response to the enemy trying to discourage you? And let me ask you this last question. When God thinks of us, when he thinks of Melba Friends Church, he is what? I hope he is delighted, because no matter our weaknesses, we continue to move towards Jesus. And if we do that, then nothing's impossible. All right? All right? To know Jesus is to know God's love. And so Hebrews is full of this. It's telling us to go. It's telling us to get excited. We don't have to run around. We don't have to be crazy. We don't have to jump up and down. You can if you want to. But if Jesus is changing your life and you really want to experience all that God has for you, then you need to take these things together, right? You need to be a little excited about Jesus. If you're going to cheer louder for the Super Bowl, wait, I had somebody say we should be more excited about receiving God's word than we are about the Super Bowl. And that since then, we should probably be dunking the pastor in Gatorade at the end of every sermon. Just let me make sure we take off the electronics. All right? I lift my hands up, my surrender, knowing that I have nothing to give. I open my hands in gratitude, knowing that I have everything to receive. Friends, I know this is hard. I know life is complicated. And I know we increasingly become introverted in our own comfort zones. But we need to step out and grow in faith. Let's pray. Abba Father, yes, I say it again, yes. I say yes to your gift of salvation. I say yes to your Holy Spirit. I say yes to Jesus. Yes to growing to know you more. I say yes to using my life to bless others. I say yes to the call that you have for me, even if it isn't what I expect.